Right. Hello, everyone. So from behind me, you can see the title of tonight is God's Love and Ours. I'd just like to give it away right at the start. So tonight, I'm talking about one thing only, and that is love. Now, I'm going to be talking about two different types of love, God's and ours. And throughout, as I talk about this, I want to think of you to think about a mirror. Think of you standing there looking into a mirror and the reflection you get. One is an example and one is the other side. What do we do? Is the reflection the same as the example? But just to get us started, thank you, Ian. Do you want to try the space bar? Modern technology. Well, next one.
Yay.
Right. So, to get us started and warmed up a little bit, I recently read a little article in The Guardian, which talks about five different theories of love, five different people's viewpoints on what love is. And I'm going to whittle these down into sort of two, three bullet points, so it isn't the whole long and illustrious paragraph that each of these lovely people gave. But the physicist, titled Love is Chemistry. So the main points of this were that the physicist believes love is a neurological condition, much like when we hunger or thirst. It's chemistry. And it's also a survival tool to promote safety and security in numbers. The next one, the psychotherapist. That love has six different types. So she went with non-sexual love, which is all this is from the Greek, playful affection, mature love, love for all humanity, self-love, and sexual love. And that actually it's unrealistic of us to experience all six types. So to experience this kind of love, we need family and community as well. The philosopher, that love is not one thing and that it is a passionate commitment. The novelist, that love drives all great stories, not just romantic, but family stories, country stories, and it fascinates us when obstacles stand in the way of our love and achieving our love. And then finally, the nun. Love is more easily experienced than defined. We encounter it in acts of kindness, generosity, and self-sacrifice. It can never hurt anyone, but it can cost us dearly. It's a bond stronger than death, and that it's life's greatest blessing. I think there are five quite interesting different viewpoints. We hear a lot about physicists and different people's views on creation and the universe and stuff. Love, again, is one of those argumentative points by the looks of it. And I wonder which one you sign up to. But tonight, I'm going to be talking about God's love and ours. And this is taken from 1 John 4, verses 7 to 21. So I shall read through the passage. And the passage reads as follows. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have the confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So I think it's quite a challenging passage, actually. And there were some little bits in that that challenged me. And then I spoke through things with Ian on Friday, which was really helpful because it then re-challenged me again in my thought process about love and my love of God and how God loves me. So could my glamorous assistant click to the next slide? Thank you. So first love I'm going to talk about is God's love. So this passage, I think, should astound us that the amazing amount of love that our Father has for us is described throughout it. And can we really comprehend this amazing amount of love? No. It would be impossible for us to fully comprehend a love that continues even when we fail, even when we let him down. And thinking about that love, the first bit I'm going to take is sacrificial. So, in this passage, God's love can be seen as sacrificial. He talks really clearly about sending Jesus to die for us so that we might live. Well, I'm not really sure if there's another love to top that. The same is said throughout the Bible, and the famous passage from John 3:16, which says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish and have eternal life. What an amazing sacrifice of love that we might have eternal life. And I talked about a mirror, and keep thinking about that as we go through, but think about it, whether we would be willing to do the same. Are we prepared to sacrifice for God? Well, God has and does, and this love resounds throughout the Bible. However, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. His one and only Son. He had no others, but prepared for him to die so that we might live. This love has beaten death for us and given us that eternal life. And this resounds even though our human love may perish with death. God's love continues no matter when or where, no matter what time or day, life or death. It never changes, never fails, and never ends. And just to remind us a little bit about what that love looked like, and a little bit of an example, there's a video clip, which is about sort of a few minutes long, and it's from The Passion of the Christ. It's not the most easy clip to watch, but I don't think it should be either. So. So actually watching, suddenly watching that now, I've cut it off a little bit earlier. But I think that little bit of clip should really re-illustrate to us exactly what has happened. And every time I watch that, I get into floods of tears from that, because it is an incredible thing that Jesus has done, that God has done. And even as his hands are being nailed, he is forgiving in love to those that have put him there. And you heard, so that I'm going to talk about later there, hidden in the middle of that clip, the new commandment that Jesus has given, which is love one another, which this passage so clearly resounds with. So, the next point is uncompromising love. So, God's love alongside this sacrificial love can also be seen as uncompromising. There's no compromise of who, when, where, or what. He hasn't picked and chosen the ones he loves. He loves all of us, even if we don't love him. Even if we moan and complain about him, as I know I do at times, he still loves us. Passage clearly talks about love being the fact that God has loved us. There has been no requirement for his love to be bestowed upon us. There's been no test or trial. No, God's love is uncompromising in its approach. It isn't selective, isn't picky or choosy. God's love is also uncompromising because of its very essence. The very being of God is love, as it talks about in the passage. He wants to intimately know us and love us so that we may come to know him and truly know the meaning of love. Not the earthly meaning of love that I talked about earlier, but a true, deep and unbounding love. And that if we truly accept that God is love and we are born of God, it's so clearly stated in this passage that we have love in us, that we just need to accept it. God has already placed his love inside of us, and with acceptance, it can become complete. So this leads me on to my third thing, which is God's love is made complete in us. So the passage talks about the love being made complete in us. He's already bestowed, he's poured out this love onto us, but only until we truly accept it into our hearts is it made complete. The passage, and as you saw in that little video clip, talks about how we must love one another, and that is a requirement for this love to be made complete. It isn't an optional extra. It isn't car hire. It's a requirement. So, I pose two questions to you to think about. Do we accept God's love in us? Do we live in God's love? Or do we live in our own? Well, thinking about that, and I will come back with some thoughts at the end, some little application points or thoughts, however you want to take them. We just need to talk about the other side of the coin, or the mirror, that reflection, which is our love. So, I've just taken two key points, and the first one is love one another. This resounds throughout this passage, and as I said, is a key requirement. This passage is so clear about this, and this resounds throughout earlier with Jesus' teaching. Matthew 5:44 states that we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And in John 13:34-35, it states, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's so clear in both those passages what Jesus is telling us to do. There's no argument, there's no discussion. It's clear and resounding. It's very easy for us to turn this around, I think, and say, this is one of those things which is much easier for me here now to stand up and say to you we must do than we do. But is it? Jesus spent his every waking minute loving everyone. Even whilst his hands were nailed to that cross, he was there in love. would we have done the same? Our love needs to be genuine, not compromising or changing, just as God's example has given us. If we truly are to love one another, we must be led by God throughout our entire lives and throughout the trials we will face. We must not love to someone's face and not to their back. We must not change like the wind in our love for one another. We must be honest and genuine. And as the passage talks about earlier on, it very clearly talks about whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. This isn't second chance love. This isn't I say it now when it's easy and then behind someone's back I challenge. This is all the time. Loving one another doesn't mean that we can ever say anything bad. We need to think about how we share love with our brothers and sisters. Are we able to love one another through those challenging times? Sometimes we must challenge others in their own lives, even when we know this is hard. And this can be done clearly in love. God has called us to love in every situation, not just the easy ones. And if we are to love one another as God loves us and as Jesus loves all, then we must respond even in love in these times when it is easier not to respond. A great little biblical example of this is the Good Samaritan. And we could sit there and read that passage, and that example is so clear that when everyone else walked past, he stopped and loved. Would we be the person who stopped and loved, or would we be the people walking past? I know I probably would have walked past. And so tonight is as much a challenge to me as it is to anyone here. But isn't that the purpose of Scripture? To challenge us, to inspire us to love, just as God's example has shown us. The second point is our love true love? God's love, as we talked about earlier, is sacrificial, uncompromising, unearthly, and amazing. Is our love the same? Do we compromise in who or how we love? Do we change our love to fit each person? Or do we love all the same, just as God loves us, the same as the person next to us, just as he loves us, as Jesus loved all? This is also about our love of God. And whether we still love God in those hard times, is our love uncompromising in that love of God, or does it compromise and buckle at the times when he's still there? There's two examples, and one of these spoke to me this morning when I was reading with Kyle, and we've just started reading the book of Job. So we read the first chapter. And that key bit at the end of the first chapter, where even though all these awful messages have come from the messengers, Job rips off his clothes and falls in worship and love of the Lord. He was there loving the Lord no matter what had happened. The other bit, the other example I was thinking of is the footprints in the sand. God is still loving us there throughout those hard times, even when we feel it's not evident or clear or where we can see him. It's because our footprints are missing. He's there. Do we remember that even through the challenging times when our faith and our lives seem turned upside down, and do we remember in those times to love him? Is our love sacrificial the same, just as Jesus's was? Jesus was sent here to die for us, people he hadn't met, people who hadn't even been created yet. But God, with his ultimate plan, he gave up his one and only son. Just as many in the Bible have done, and his disciples, we need to love God so much that we will just respond to his one and every call. Jesus talks in the New Testament that we must be willing to give up everything for God. Are we really willing to do this? Our love should be without fear, which the passage clearly talks about. And when we have God's love, fear is driven out. And that we should be fearful, and that we shouldn't be fearful of God's will for us. We shouldn't be fearful of judgment, as if we truly love him, and we truly have accepted him into our lives, then we are there to be in paradise with him at the end. He has an amazing plan for each and every one of us, but are we willing to accept that that plan and that God's work may come at a cost, may need a sacrifice? Now, as I do at youth, I like using video clips, as you've seen one already, and I'm going to use another one, which James will recognise, as I've nicked it from Iva with a recent talk. It's from a film called To End All Wars. And it just gives us a really sort of interesting demonstration of human sacrificial love. So, from that clip, there is obviously a resounding thing with us as Christians with the cross. But did you get the true meaning? Did we get that he was willing to give up his own life for that of his friend? Just as Jesus did, and just as God calls us to do for him and for everyone else. Are we prepared to do that? So I've got a few thought points.
Thank you.
Which I've sort of covered pretty much in my talk, so I'm not going to reiterate them. But I want you to remember that mirror image. Is our love sacrificial? Is our love uncompromising? Do we truly love God? And do we truly love one another? Just as God's example in this passage is, and just as God's example is throughout the Bible. I'm going to put a little music track on, which is a track by a guy called Andy Flanagan, called First Love. And it's about 2.5 minutes long. Just have a listen to it and think about the thoughts at the top and just about love. And then we're going to lead straight into communion from the track. Thank you.